podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
If you're looking to buy a property, give Property Price Guru a call. They specialise in helping buyers on their property search and can even negotiate on your behalf, potentially saving you thousands. Email info@propertypriceguru.co.uk and use reference House07, that's House07, for a discounted rate.
You're listening to the Voices of the Vic podcast with Ben Ayton and Mike Duffy. This episode contains some strong language.
Hello and welcome to the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy, Ben Ayton and James Batchelor. It's been a while since us three have been together. It's been about a month since me and Ben last spoke, and for those that listened and put up with it, we do apologise at how long it was. I think it was an hour and 40 minutes in the end, just talking about the transfers that had happened. And we're here again to talk about transfers because there's been further transfers since we last spoke. But it's been a while, James, since you've been on. When was the last one that you were on with us?
God, it must have been... Was I on last game of the season against Swansea?
I think that was my last pod. Yes, it was. Yeah, how have you been? Because we'll speak to Ben in a minute, but how have you been since you've last been on? You been up to much? How you been keeping everything?
Yeah, I've been doing very well, thank you. I've just been kind of enjoying the sunny weather we've had lately in England, and yeah, it's been very, very warm, so I've been struggling to get to sleep, but been keeping fit, been playing a lot of football, been going out running, been going out cycling, and just kind of enjoying a bit of a break from football. Obviously, watching the Euros as well, England doing really, really well. Gutted that. Obviously, we didn't win, but that was really fun to watch as well.
Yeah, it was. You know, I think that's definitely helped keep an interest. Not that I'd ever fall out of love with football, but in terms of having regular football on, it almost feels as if we haven't had a season break because of the football that's been on. And as you say, England getting to their first final in 50-odd years definitely helped the summer become even better as we record this on Freedom Day, they're calling it. So, you know, hopefully things will start to look more up now and we can have full stadium capacity. So you've also made me feel very, very lazy by saying that you've been going out running and cycling and playing football, because I've hardly been doing anything. So yeah, thanks for that, James. And obviously joined by Ben, as always. We've switched it up this time. We usually speak to Ben first, but thought we'd mix it up. Ben, like I said at the top of the show, it's been a month since me and you last spoke about the transfers and everything. Firstly, how are you? And secondly, how have you been over this last month since we last spoke?
Yeah, it's been absolutely ages since we've done this, it feels like. It's been a while, hasn't it? I know it's only been about 4 weeks, but it's felt a lot longer. Luckily, we've had the Euros to distract us, gutting that we couldn't get over that penalties and get one over Italy. But I think maybe the best team won the tournament. Yeah. I think Italy were really good from the first game, weren't they? Yeah. But I must say, I know it wasn't just England getting to a final, but that's probably one of the best tournaments I've watched for a very, very long time. The standard of football was quality. And all the matches like going on as well, like for high scoring and all the last minute drama like scoring and then the big teams being knocked out. It was just what we needed, a good old distraction. And it kind of helped out. It's made the pre-season feel a little bit shorter, hasn't it?
Definitely.
Normally, when there's no football, we're all twiddling our thumbs and it's like, oh, come on. And then we're just refreshing Twitter to see, oh, are we linked with anyone and that? But luckily, we've had the Euros to kind of keep ourselves busy, haven't we? How have you been, mate? How's the new career going?
Yeah, no, I've been very well, thank you. And everything's going rather swimmingly. It's it's quite a shift in emphasis from moving from an office job to the type of work that I'm doing at the moment. So just taking use of the physicality of it. But other than that, it's all been good. And yeah, it's long may that continue. And I'm happy I made the decision that I did. And like you say, obviously, football's back soon as well. I think what someone said the other day, it's what, 30 days till the Premier League season starts, or 4 weeks?
3 weeks this Saturday, isn't it?
3 weeks
till we play Villa.
Yeah, so, and obviously our first official pre-season match this Saturday at home against the Baggies. So I'm looking forward to that. We've had a couple of behind closed doors ones where, you know, we've sort of only got to know because the other team have tweeted about it, sort of thing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to an official one, and hopefully quite a few people. I know, James, you've got a ticket. Hopefully quite a few people turn up to Vicarage Road and cheer the boys on. Cisco's game, first game in front of Watford fans. Obviously, it's, you know, not an official game. It's just a friendly, but that'll be good for him. And I think he'll get a hero's welcome, and rightly so.
I just hope there's a few fans that manage to get tickets, because I think it'd be a bit of a nightmare, isn't it?
From what I've seen on social media, it's been a bit of a pain in the arse, to say the least. But I think the club have sort of recognised that, and I think they're looking to rectify it as soon as possible, which is good, because you never want a ticketing problem, whether it's ringing up or online. And I know they're trying to go down the route of e-tickets this season, is it? I think, is it your season tickets on an
app? Yeah, they want to scrap the paper season tickets nowadays, don't they? Obviously, they'll keep the paper tickets. Well, not the paper tickets. It's back in the 90s, isn't it? They're looking to keep the card tickets for, obviously, the older people who don't have smartphones and that. So if you are having problems with that, you just contact the club and they'll sort you out. But yeah, I think everyone's moving forward towards this, all the technology now, isn't it? And I think Watford have just jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, it's
you don't blame
them. The times, isn't it? So, you know, it's what happens nowadays. And I think if they, once they get the issue sorted, I think, I'm sure it'll be a breeze and it'll be nice and easy for everyone. Before we get stuck into the transfers that have happened since we last spoke, there is two issues outside of Watford that I just wanted to raise and sort of put our condolences on record. Firstly, putting rivalries aside here, I don't know if you guys that are listening have seen that Mick Harford, who's currently a coach at Luton and used to play for them as well, and Michael Appleton, who is, I think, is currently the Lincoln boss, formerly of Leicester and Oxford as well, I think, both have sadly been diagnosed with prostate cancer. So we just want to wish them all the best and a speedy recovery. Like I say, rivalries aside with the Luton stuff there. But yeah, we want to wish them a speedy recovery, because that's terrible news for anyone to suffer, especially, you know, in the midst of the pandemic as well. That's sort of, after a crap year, that's just made things even worse for them. So speedy recovery to those guys. I just thought that we'd put that on record for ourselves. But yeah, we got a lot to talk about, gents, because when me and Ben have been in regular contact, thinking when shall we treat the listeners to another episode and everything, and we were sort of thinking, well, not much has gone on since the last episode, but then we've had this flurry of signings since we last spoke, and yeah, no better time to get stuck into them. I think we're best off starting we'll start with Emmanuel Dennis. He's come in from Club Bruges. He's signed a 5-year contract. He scored 27 goals in over 90 appearances, and he also spent a part of last season on loan in the Bundesliga at FC Köln. He's 23 years old, Nigerian. The fee, we believe, was in the region of $3 million. And you might have heard of him before, because he was a man that actually scored a brace at the Bernabeu against Real Madrid when Club Bruges drew 2-2 with them in the Champions League. James, coming to you first, what was your initial thoughts on this signing? Because this one sort of come out of nowhere. There was no links or anything. And next thing you know, we've signed this guy from Club Bruges. What, do you know much about him? Have you read much into him?
No, it come as quite a shock to me as well, because I don't even think Adam Leventhal really mentioned much about it. I'm delighted with it. I think that, you know, he's only 23 years old. I think, you know, reducing the age of the squad is only a good thing. I think it's been quite evident to Watford fans the past few years, especially when we're in the Premier League, that, you know, we found it quite tough to score goals, and we didn't really have anyone who was prolific. Now, Emmanuel Dennis judging by his statistics, isn't necessarily prolific either. But I think what he can offer is a good backup to Saar. And, you know, I'd expect someone of his quality to really be pushing for a first-team spot, really.
Yeah, and Ben, I just want to pick up on something that James just said there. When you look at his stats, for a striker, yes, he's only 23 years old, but for a striker, he's not scored a great deal of goals. You know, I'm just going to read through a couple of the stats. When he played for, in 16-17, 6 goals in 22 appearances. This was in the league. 17-18, 7 goals in 23 appearances. 18-19, 17 goals in 5 appearances. 5 goals in 20 appearances. He hasn't hit double figures yet. And like I say, I might be jumping the gun a little bit because he is only 23. But does that worry you a little bit? Are you expecting Emmanuel Dennis to be a regular starter week in, week out? Is he the answer that we need to get goals and keep us up ultimately in the Premier League this season?
I think it's a shrewd signing for Watford. Watford love dipping into the Belgium league, don't they? Unearth these talents. I don't think he's an out-and-out striker. So if you're looking at those stats and you think he's the striker, then he's not. That's why the numbers are probably a bit lower, because he is being played out wide. I was watching lots of his footage after we've signed him, and he tends to play on the right wing more than he does on the left. Adam Leventhal has done a bit with from the rookery end today, and he said that Watford have brought him in to maybe play on the left hand side, but from all the footage I've seen, I've never seen him over on the left hand side, so it'll be quite interesting to see how he plays. He's very quick and direct as well. He loves the trick, he hugs that touchline as well, and with that raw talent as well, I think we only signed him for about $3 million. It's a low risk signing. I know there's question marks over his attitude as well, because there's been problems at his former clubs where his attitude has been not the best. I think there was an incident at Cologne last season, wasn't there, where something happened on a team bus or something.
And someone sat in his seat and he refused to get off the bus or something yeah. crazy like that.
Something silly like that. But it's a good signing for Watford. He's obviously got a lot of talent. He scored 2 goals against Real Madrid, albeit that they weren't the greatest of finishes. They've probably had a bit about Andre Gray about them for both of the finishes. I think it's a good signing, and we'll just have to see how he's going to fit into his Watford side, because there's been a few signings. So is he good enough to come in straight away and start? Not too sure. He's not going to get Saar's spot. Is he going to get Semmer's spot? It would be very harsh on Semmer if you kick him out straight away after you just got promoted. So it'd probably be the bench for me, but it'll be chasing after Semmer for that left hand side spot.
Yeah, well, you mentioned there, he's, according to Transfer Market, which we regularly use, the website we regularly use to get statistics and things as such as that, he's played as a left winger 14 times in his career, scoring 3 goals and assisting 2. You compare that to when he's played as centre forward 64 times. So, you know, he's not used to playing out on the left. So he's played out on the right much, much more. I think 27 times here, it says. So, yeah, the left-hand side would maybe be a bit of a switch for him. It will be interesting. I've got to be careful how I word this, because I don't want it to come across as me slagging him off or saying that he doesn't deserve a spot. But it will be interesting to see if Ken Semmer gets his chance and if he takes it, because you remember the last time he was in the Premier League, he didn't really shine, and it was that Udinese loan spell which sort of brought a bit of life into him. Now, will he have learnt from that, and will he be a better equipped this time round in the Premier League, or will we see Emmanuel Dennis play out on that left-hand side? Who knows? We never know. And also as well, Emmanuel Dennis has already picked up a goal in pre-season, and to many that won't mean anything, but you know, goals like that definitely help with confidence.
I think they've both got points to prove, haven't they? Like you say, Ken Semmer, he's played in the Prem before with Watford, but he never really hit the ground going. He's gone out on loan at Udinese. He's got a lot of experience under his belt. Last season, he was absolutely fantastic for Watford. So he's got a point to prove in the Prem now. And Emmanuel Dennis coming over with the issues and question marks over his attitude, he's hungry and he wants to play in the best league in the world, so he's got a point to prove as well. So it's like Scott Duxbury has said, he wants to bring people who are hungry and want to play for his football club. So I think I know we're going to touch on all the signings, but I think all the signings have ticked that box. They're all hungry and they want to be here and they want to play for Watford. And that's what excites me the most about all these signings.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Scott Duxbury did say that, and in that brilliant interview he did with From the Rookery End, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it. But yeah, he did. That's exactly what he said. And these signings are sort of those moulds. Now, I am going to play devil's advocate a little bit with myself there, because he said that he wants people that are going to fight for their places and not cause destruction like players did. We've already mentioned that that Emmanuel Dennis has had a few problems with his, you know, previous clubs in terms of attitude. I've also read that this next player that we're going to talk about has also had similar issues at clubs as well. So let's hope they're just one-offs. But Peter Etterbo is the next player that we're going to talk about. He's signed on a season-long loan from Stoke with an option to buy. And he's spent the last 3 years on the books with Stoke, but he's spent quite a bit of that time out on loan. He's had loan spells at Getafe, and he's had loan spells at Villarreal. Is it Villarreal as well he's been at, I think?
I think it was Las Palmas.
Yeah, it was Galatasaray, Las Palmas, Getafe, and another Spanish club which I've not heard of. He's also Nigerian, as well as Emmanuel Dennis. He's 25 years old. He's a box-to-box midfielder. He appeared in the Europa League last year, and he's had 33 appearances for the Nigerian national side. Centre mid coming in, Ben. There's already question marks over Nathaniel Chalobah and Will Hughes. Do you think this maybe spells an end for one of the two, if not both of them, or do you think this is as well as hopefully keeping both of those, Nathaniel Chalobah and Will Hughes?
Ideally, I'd love them both to stay. They've both been great servants for Watford, and they contributed last season massively in getting the club back into the Premier League, so I'd love them to stick around. But whether they want to stay or not, it's different question, isn't it? I know there's question marks over them signing a new contract. There's lots of other clubs circling, especially when it comes to Will Hughes. Lots of clubs wanting to snap him up, both in the last year of a contract. I think Watford have to look at this and be careful. They could have easily sat still and been like, no, they'll sign contracts, don't worry about that, we won't bring in any other players. But they've brought in two or three new midfielders, and then they're kind of knocking on the door already, aren't they? They're coming in, they're training with the first team already, and Cisco would be looking at them thinking, well, they're here, they want to stay. And then it's maybe pushing maybe Hughesy and Chalobah a little bit to the side a little bit more, because Watford know that they can't afford to lose them next season for free. They either have to cash in now or risk losing them for absolutely nothing. So I think it's very sensible from Watford. I don't think they're like-for-like replacements. I don't think they're maybe the same quality of like a Chalobah or Hughesy. I think Chalobah's replaceable. Hughesy would be more difficult to replace. If Hughesy is to be replaced, I think you have to spend a fair amount of money to get a good replacement in. And I don't really see Watford doing that. So I think maybe a change of formation might be the option for Watford to just get through that situation. But Peter Etterbo, he looks... it's another sensible signing, isn't it? It's someone with a point to prove again. He's came up from the Championship. It's an option to buy. So if it doesn't go well, you just cut ties and send him back. But he's a very powerful box-to-box midfielder. He's not afraid to get stuck in. He loves a shot from distance. I don't mind his signing.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, obviously we mentioned he's played in Europa League last season, James. Do you think that's also put him in good stead and hopefully slots straight into Cisco's plans? Or are you with Ben on this one? Do you think this would, if we were to keep the likes of Nathaniel Chalobah and Will Hughes, do you think he would be sort of back up to those two as well?
Yeah, I mean, with Peter Etterbo, I'm not expecting him to start for us next season at all, really. Unless he can push his way in. I think, as you say, that all depends on the future of Nathaniel Chalobah and Will Hughes. And I think the club have been very deliberate in the fact that they've not posted any footage or any photos of Will Hughes at all.
It's like he's gone missing.
It's like he's disappeared.
I've heard that he's training alone, like Capoue and Danny Welbeck did last season.
Yeah, it's, it's very similar to the group we had last season, who were rumoured, you know, to have been linked away to other clubs. And I think Will Hughes, I definitely think Will Hughes looks more likely to leave than Chalobah. I think I've seen Chalobah in a few pictures, but I think that, as Ben said, it's a sensible sign-in. I think from what I've seen of him is similar to Decore. He's big, strong, physical, likes to drive forward and can defend as well. So, as Ben said, sensible sign-in. Obviously, hopefully he does really well at Watford. And yeah, just fingers crossed that he can have a good season. And hopefully we can keep at least one of Will Hughes or Chalobah at the club as well.
Yeah.
I've seen that Peter Tubu was actually on Watford's radar a good 2-3 years ago as well, just before he signed for Stoke. There was an offer on a table from Watford, but he actually opted to sign for Stoke. So it's a case of Watford finally getting their man with Peter Tubu. They've been on his radar for a very long time.
Yeah, well, that's very, very interesting to see. I think that's not the first time that we've tried to revisit players that we've been linked with in the past. So Potsos have finally got their man. They obviously like the look of him, and hopefully that pays off for them, because you know there was a lot of stick from the fans last season in terms of, well, the 19-20 season in terms of recruitment. So hopefully this time they've hit the nail on the head, and look, we're getting the business done early, which is what I like.
Yeah,
you know, I really, really do like it. James, you mentioned you don't know whether he's going to feature much. Someone that I don't think is going to feature much is the next player we're going to talk about. Now, I am probably also going to butcher this pronunciation. It's Darpo Mabude. He's signed a 2-year contract with us with an option for a further 2 years. And he's joined after being released by Rangers. He spent last season on loan at Queen of the South. And in 23 caps across... Well, he's got 23 caps across the Scottish under-17s, 18s and 19s. He scored 6 goals... for them as well, and he's featured alongside the likes of our very own Sonny Blue Low Everton. This one's definitely for the future, isn't it, James? I can't see. This Darpo has also scored in a friendly. I think it was the Millwall one he scored in, I think.
Yeah.
He's very much one for the future, isn't he, James? I can't see him playing much at all this season. Is that your thoughts on it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of players in that situation. Obviously, Thiago Kakar only today, going out on loan to Doncaster, and for me, it's just, you know, going into this transfer window, I wanted Watford to kind of focus on this kind of caliber of player, young players, hungry to play for the club, maybe not necessarily ready for first team football yet, but with development in them. I'm just happy with that's kind of the profile of player we're bringing in. And you know, again, with him, I've not really seen a lot of him from what I've seen. He's similar to Joseph Hungbo. He likes to dart in and out. He's got a low centre of gravity. But is he going to play for us this season? As you say, probably not. But yeah, as I said, it's just always good to see young players coming through. 2-year contract with the option of a further 2 years. So hopefully he does well out on loan, and yeah, hopefully we get to see a lot more of him.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Ben. Do you think this chap's going to end up out on loan? Because there's a few players we signed earlier in the window. You know, Quadwo Barr, Matty Pollock. I think you said that you can see them both going out on loan. I think Leventhal's most recent article actually said that Barr certainly is very much staying with the club, which is very interesting. And I'd imagine Pollock will as well, because we're very light at centre-backs, and there's a reason for that, which we'll talk about in a bit. But can you see the Darpo maybe going out on loan and being one for the future?
Yeah, especially when you look at all the attackers we've actually got at the club now. We was quite light in that front towards the end of the last season, and we only really, because Troy Deeney was out injured, we only really had Andre Gray and Pedro to maybe play through the middle. I know Success got fit towards the end of the season, but it was quite light there. But we've actually signed quite a few attackers now, haven't we? So I don't imagine that he's going to be someone who's going to be coming off the bench at all. I think a good loan spell at maybe like a League One club would do him wonders. But what I like about this signing again, it's another young, hungry player who wants to come and impress and wants to because he's been given a 2-year deal. It's not like a Jerome Sinclair where we've signed him and given him a 5-year deal. He's got a 2-year deal here where he's got to impress. Otherwise, that 2-year deal will run out and expire. And he's got an option for another further 2 years. So he wants to come here and hit the ground running and impress the Watford hierarchy and get a further deal and actually play football here. So it's another really good signing. And I like that we're trying to improve. Like James says, it's the kind of the younger players that we need to kind of look at now. And I think that Scott Duxbury even said about it as well in his interview that he wants to start looking at the youngsters. Watford have kind of stepped away from that in the last 10 years or so. I think the last player that came through the academy really that played week in, week out was Tommy Hoban. Mm-hmm. So we kind of need to address that situation. So I do like that we're signing the likes of Barr, Pollock, and Embud to all come into the side as well. So really liking the approach from Watford. And like you said earlier, business is getting done early. It's more, everyone was here for the start of pre-season. They're getting a full pre-season under their belt. Cisco can assess the squad, see if they're good enough to be in and around the first team. Or if not, we've got the new loan manager now, haven't we, that Watford have appointed. So we can send someone out on loan. So if that person would be like, right, you're going out on loan, I think you're at this standard, you go play there for a year. Just like we've sent the youngster out to Doncaster Rovers today, which I really like. Really happy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think what's also important is bringing youth players in, because we've certainly upset quite a few fans, because, you know, we've broke the news on our Instagram and Twitter that we've lost a couple of academy
lost
products.
Lost three,
already.
Haven't we?
The one that surprised me the most was that Bozen Larwell. Again, I've probably butchered that pronunciation, but
doesn't matter. He's left, mate.
Yeah, exactly. to go to Celtic. You know, it wasn't long ago that I was watching the end of season awards on YouTube, and Troy Deeney was praising him to the high heavens. And you know, to then find out that he's gone and signed a 3-year deal, I think it is, at Celtic. A little bit disappointing. We've also lost a young Finnish left back as well. He's gone to Man City, much to the disappointment of the Watford FC Finland supporters group, as they tweeted us when we broke the news. But I think it's important that we start bringing players in and looking at doing our academy up again. Well, bringing players through again, because as you say, I don't mean to, this certainly isn't me slagging them off, but since Opoku's come in, we haven't really had as many. You know, Watford were renowned for bringing players through their youth academy before the Pozzos, and you know, I didn't mind that at all. Like, you know, some were crap. You know, Matty Wichlow, he weren't great, was he? But I think one of the ones that I liked was Ross Jenkins. It's a shame it didn't really work out for him. But I'm not talking about the one from the 80s either. I'm talking about the most recent one. But it's hopefully the change that they've had in the academy means that we're going to be looking at bringing players through, making that path from the under-23s or the under-18s through to the first team. It's going to be a much more clear path.
I think Zisco is key to that as well, because you saw last season, you know, the main player who come through was Joseph Hungbo. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's all well and good us having all these talented academy players, but it's down to ultimately the manager to play them and bring them through into the first team games. And, you know, the Premier League is a pressure league, and I think some managers can crumble under the pressure and not want to turn to them younger players. So hopefully Zisco does continue to trust our youngsters and give them some opportunities.
Yeah, and I think as well what's key to it is we, you know, when the season finished and, you know, even during the season, we used to see on Twitter that Cisco had gone and watched, you know, I don't know, the under-11s or the under-12s, and he'd be there on a Sunday morning. I think even the day after the promotion, he was there the next day, early in the morning, watching the youth, you know, academy. So he's obviously a manager that wants to try and implement the youth and bring them in and everything else. And, you know, me and Ben were conversing. We often send each other tweets when we see transfer rumours. And we saw that a young lad called George Abbott got a run out with the first team. You know, I'll admit, I've never heard of him. He's obviously an academy player. He got a run out with the first team in one of the two games against Colchester. So he's very, very keen to bring young players in, and it's a relief to see, because you know you see it all the time. Young players come through, and you know they can have an absolute barnstormer of a season, and you know this next thing you know, the next best thing since sliced bread. So I want to go back to that sort of Watford where we bring players through, and you know they. Other fans of other teams can't say, oh, they're only known for bringing players in on loan from Udinese, because that's getting a bit boring. Although we haven't done that for a while, so yeah, I'll that's what I want, certainly. A player that's very much going to be, I think, in the plans of Cisco this year, and I think he's a brilliant signing. We said that Ashley Fletcher was a no risk signing because he was free and you know he didn't have to fork any money out. Josh King, I think he's an absolutely superb signing. And I think out of us, Norwich and Brentford, who come up, if I was the, you know, in charge of the hierarchy at those two clubs, I certainly would have been going out trying to get Josh King. He's definitely one of the free agents I would have been trying to get. You know, he's agreed a two-year contract with an option to a further year. He joined up with the first squad on Monday. He was on a free transfer because he was released from Everton, and he's spent six seasons with Bournemouth where he scored 48 Premier League goals. And I think one 16-17 season, he scored 16 in the Premier League. 15-16, he scored 6. 18-19, he scored 12. You get a player that scores you 12 and above, 15 and above goals a season, and you're halfway, you know, to Premier League safety. Ben, can you surely King's got to be starting week in, week out. He has for me. Is that your view? Do you share that view, or do you think he's going to be a bit part player?
This is the best signing Watford's done all summer. I think it's been outstanding to get someone of his calibre as well. I know it didn't work out for him at Everton because he was kind of promised that he was going to get more game time than he was actually led to believe by Carlo Ancelotti. That's why he only ended up staying for 6 months at Everton. And then at Bournemouth as well, I know some Watford fans are concerned by thinking, oh, well, the last season he was at Bournemouth, it wasn't the greatest of spells for him. And then Bournemouth got relegated, and the 6 months that he was in the Championship with Bournemouth, he didn't really deliver either. But you got to think back before that, at the start of that first, the last season in the Prem with Bournemouth, at the start of the season, he was kind of promised a move to his boyhood club, Manchester United.
Yeah.
He was told that he was promised a couple of months before that he could make the move. United came in and wanted to sign a player. Bournemouth said, no, you got to stay. So obviously, this is the same situation as Hughesy. If a player wants to move on, you let them move on, because you're not going to get the best out of them afterwards.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm not too worried about the form of Josh King, because he was promised. And we've seen it with Abdoulaye Doucouré as well. With Everton, the last season, Watford wasn't his greatest as well. But Josh King's figures speak for himself. He's got double figures in the Prem. What was that? At least two, three seasons.
He has, yeah.
And for a team fighting against relegation, for one of your strikers to hit double figures, that's a great return. Because you're not going to get that many chances fighting for your life at the bottom of the table. For a free transfer as well, brilliant. Two-year deal. It's not silly money where he's came in on another five-year deal. It's another sensible dealing from the club at Watford. He's strong, he's powerful, he's quick. I like his goals as well. He can score any kind of goal. He's a poacher. He can score from outside the box. He can take it round the keeper. Really, really like this signing. And sorry to go back to what your question was. Do I see him leading the line for Watford or starting? 100%. He's got to be your first striker.
Yeah, yeah. And James, do you agree with that, or are you on a completely different wavelength to us and think that he won't start, or he'll have to fight for his chance? Or
yeah, I absolutely agree with what you're both saying, and I actually think, you know, reading a bit deeper into it, you know, obviously we finished the season playing that 4-3-3 formation. You know, with the number of attacking players, the number of strikers we have at the club at the moment, it wouldn't shock me necessarily to see Zisco switch formation sometimes and maybe play a 4-4-2 with Troy and King up top, Saar on the right, Dennis on the left. You know, because we have such depth in them positions now, it wouldn't surprise me to see Zisco maybe try something different. I'd rather he didn't. I'd rather we did stick to that 4-3-3. But as Ben said, I mean, what a fantastic signing for Watford, you know, and especially coming from former Bournemouth player as well, you know, that's wound them lot up as well. So, you know, I'm really, really happy with it. Goal scorer, not just a penalty merchant either. So yeah, absolutely delighted with that.
James, at Troy Deeney.
Maybe.
What have I told you about that on this show? What have I told you about that? Although, you did say that you could see him and Troy playing up front. Two things, really. You said he wound the Bournemouth lot up. Something else which has wound them up as well tonight, which I think has been hilarious. They're playing Granada at the moment in a pre-season friendly. And the last time I checked, Luis Suarez had just put Granada 2-1 up.
They lost 2-1.
Oh, did they? That is yeah. Brilliant. Apparently, it was a howler from their goalkeeper as well. So that makes it even better.
Shock. Have you seen that Begovic is going to Everton?
You're joking me. Is he really?
Nah. Yeah, he's going to Everton.
He lost the plot in that playoff semi-final when he ran after Ivan Toney, man. That guy's an absolute animal.
That.
Jesus Christ. We're going off topic a little bit here. We like to do that on this show. And secondly, James, I just want to ask, you to pick up what you said. You said a 4-4-2. Now, obviously, it's hard to sort of say who's going to be playing in what formation because anything can happen. But could you see that happening this season, a 4-4-2 with a front two of Troy Deeney and Josh King? Would you, as a Watford supporter, be happy with that front two? Obviously, you know, Troy splits opinions like you wouldn't believe. And that's what baffles me because, you know, he's a club legend and the way that some people speak about him, you wouldn't think he is. But could you see maybe a Deeney and King sort of front two? Do you think, could you see that happening or was that just an example?
I think there's so many options, a 4-2-3-1, because you have to remember, you know, we've got so many midfielders, so many attackers now, you know, you can't just play two midfielders because you'd have about six or seven, you know, not even making the squad. So,
we could have six or seven different pairings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult balance to strike for Zisco, but I do hope, you know, ideally for me, my favourite formation in football is the 4-3-3. I just think it offers a lot, especially if you have really talented wide players like we do in Saar, Pedro, Zinchenko, players like that. So I'd prefer to stay in that 4-3-3 with King up top. But I think Troy will still fancy himself to play a big part this season. So it wouldn't surprise me to... He does look lean, but I'm sure we say that every year and he ends up having not such a great season. So
you want to stop that? Hopefully... You want to pack that in, James? Told you, man.
Hopefully, Troy can fire on all cylinders, but I think for me, I think King really has to be that starting striker, doesn't he?
I don't think you could start Deeney in a 4-3-3 only because I think you need someone more mobile. You need someone with pace. You can't just hit the ball up for Troy Deeney in a 4-3-3. He works better as a two. We've seen this before, especially in the Prem when he had Igalo feeding off all his scraps and their partnership was brilliant. So if maybe you could see a partnership between Deeney and King, I can't see it personally. I think I would want someone like a Joao Pedro or a Chucho Hernandez up top with like a Josh King.
This is it. We have all these options. You know, we're talking about, I was going to say Fletcher then. You're talking about King coming in. You've still got Pedro. You've still got Chucho Hernandez. So, yeah, sorry, Ben. I was just...
I do worry about Joao Pedro's game time next season because obviously I don't think he's... I don't see really where he's going to fit in. I don't know if he's... I don't see him being the first name on the team sheet. I don't see him being the first striker on the team sheet. Not now we've got Josh King. I maybe see him playing in like a just behind a striker if we was going to play that kind of formation. Yeah. But like you say, we've got so many options now. So I do worry that maybe all these signings coming in could hinder Joao Pedro's progress.
Yeah, I can totally see where you're coming from there. And, you know, even if he played out wide, you know, we saw him a couple of times play out wide, I'd be quite happy for that. But then again, you know, where do you put Emmanuel Dennis, Ken Semmer, Ismaila Sarr? So, you know, that's if Sarr sticks around, of course. You know, they might be thinking in the back of their heads, we need to get these players in because Sarr's going to be leaving. So, you know, it's all a bit up in the air at the moment. And, you know, I'm just glad that it's not us that have to make the decisions, and it's Cisco Munoz that has to make those decisions at the end of the day. But I've got complete faith in him. And look, I'm sure Saturday will be a taster of what to maybe expect for the season ahead in terms of formation.
Can we all predict if Husey's going to be in the starting lineup or even the match day squad? I'm going to say he's not going to be anywhere to be seen.
Well, I've seen a couple of theories which I'm really liking, but I think they're a bit out there. I think a couple of people are saying...
Wishful thinking.
Yeah, wishful thinking, big time. Kit's announced on Thursday. The Kit announcement, Will Hughes is in there. He's signed a brand new deal. Again, a little bit wishful thinking for me. I think with these midfielders coming in, and we've obviously been linked with another one as well, which we'll touch upon very, very briefly. I just can't see it. I really, really can't. I hope I'm wrong, because I would be absolutely gutted if he goes. But I just can't. We'll talk about that now, actually. You know, we've been linked with the chap from Sampdoria. His name escapes me at the moment. It's
Morten
Thorsby, yeah.
Norwegian,
$6 million.
Looks like Husey.
Looks like Husey, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bleached blonde hair, 25 years old, 33 appearances last season, scoring 3 times. I don't proclaim to know anything about him, so I can't really go into excessive detail. But from what I've seen in terms of statistical wise, and you know, I think it's Watford Analytics, Jordan, I think his name is. He puts a few things up, and I think I've seen Luan's also put some stuff up as well. His game is very much what we need, basically. So, you know, without knowing too much about him, can I say that he's a like-for-like replacement? I'd be stupid to even try and say that, because I've not seen anything of him. But I just think with the amount of midfielders we're bringing in, I just think that only points to one thing, unfortunately. And hopefully not. And these theories of Hughes being in the Kit on the announcement on Thursday, hopefully they come true and we see him feature against West Brom. Although, if he's been training on his own, I can't really see it happening myself, to be honest. So, we've talked about incomings. Let's talk about a couple of outgoings. The first major one, Ben Wilmot, his time has unfortunately come to an end at Watford. He's signed a 4-year deal at Stoke City, fees in the region of $2 million. So I think we signed him for $1 million, was it? So we've doubled up on that. He signed from Stevenage in 2018. He made 33 appearances in his 3-year stint, scoring a goal against QPR during the recent promotion campaign. He played 25 times in that promotion winning side, but only made 2 starts under Cisco. So I don't know. We spoke about it various times on the podcast last season, whether he just didn't rate him or what. I don't know what's gone on there. He also enjoyed a loan spell with Udinese in Serie A. Also with Swansea City, he scored against Cardiff in the Welsh Derby. You know, very, very liked his time at Swansea City. And then he also reached the playoffs with them as well in the 2019-20 season. Ben, I'm certainly gutted to see him go, because, again, you know, much like Boson Larwell, who left Troy Deeney, also, I remember him making a comparison to Rio Ferdinand, and that was when we played Swansea City in the League Cup, and Wilmot was there with Swansea, and Hive Live were covering the game, and yeah, he said that it reminded him of Rio Ferdinand. But some things just don't work out, Ben, do they?
Yeah, and I'm not sad to see him go, and I'm not happy to see him go. It's one of those, isn't it? He's obviously gone because he's not getting the game time at Watford. I think he's replaceable as well. He's obviously not going to get in ahead of Truce Econ and Sirielta, who were both outstanding last season. Yeah. He would probably be third choice centre-back. I think he's better than Cabaselli. It's better than Cathcart because of the age of him. So he'll probably be the third choice and maybe just sit on the bench in the Prem next season. So for Ben Wilmot, who's a young guy who's been playing for the under-21s, he wants to kickstart his career. He doesn't want to be stop-starting. He wants to get out there and get experience. And that's the only way you're going to improve as a footballer. So I think going to a Stoke City, where they've just got rid of their centre-back, haven't they, to Burnley for quite a lot of money. They've had to look into the market, and they've actually signed Ben Womack off for recommendation of Craig Kakar because for Stoke City.
The manager, Michael O'Neill.
Michael O'Neill actually asked Craig Kakar about Ben Womack and gave him a really good review. So that's why he's probably ended up going to Stoke City as well. So just the best of luck for him, really. He was never really going to play under Cisco in the Prem when he saw he only had two starts in the Championship. Mm. And like I say, he's replaceable. Are we looking at the future for Matty Pollock to be maybe the new Ben Wilmot? Because he is another lower league player. It's going to take years for him to get up to that standard. But and I do think there's room in the squad still to bring in a centre-half.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. You know, this opinion might differ throughout Watford fans, but I certainly think that a backup of, obviously, I think it will be Truster Kong and Sirielta that will be the starting centre backs. But I think a backup of Cabaselli and Craig Kafka is more than good enough for the Premier League. Obviously, we know Cabaselli has a few hairy moments and a few sort of heart in your mouth moments. And, you know, I'll never forget Everton away that one season. Where he gave a free kick away in the last minute, and that Digne stepped up and put it top bins. I was in the away end that day, and yeah, you know, he has got a mistake in him. I think Craig Kafka is, you know, he's a seasoned pro, isn't he? I think he's got another year in him. I don't know how old he is now, mid-30s probably, but he's definitely got another year in him, I think. And I don't think Matty Pollock will go out on loan, you know. I think he's going to provide cover, and I think we'll see him feature in pre-season as well. I think
League Cup games as well.
League Cup games, yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think overall you're spot on there, Ben. I think Ben Wilmot is replaceable. Are you gutted that he didn't make the breakthrough, James? We've so much promise from when we signed him, and it just wasn't to be. Some things aren't, are there?
No, it wasn't to be. There was a lot of promise, a lot of I know a lot of Watford fans liked him, but I also knew some Watford fans, you know, weren't that much of a fan of him. So for me, I'm gutted he left. But really, at his age, 21, you know, that's kind of when you're starting to look to play a lot of first team football. And you know, he wasn't doing that under Zisco, as we saw towards the end of last season. So look, wishing him all the best. Yeah. And I think, you know, Matty Pollock coming from Grimsby, he'll see that as a step up coming to Watford. Pollock, so he's probably really excited and ready to go. So I think for him, he'll be happy to not play a big part this season. And as Ben said, we've got Sirielta, Truster Kong, that will be our centre back pairing. Cabaselle, Cathcart as backups to them. So I think we're pretty much set. But as you said, Mike, I think maybe bring another centre back in on loan potentially just to add a bit more cover. But
I personally, just to be different to you two, I don't think we need one.
My problem is I can see, what if Sirielta or Trusi can't pick up an injury? Sirielta loves a yellow card as well, so he'll probably be out suspended for a few games next season as well. And then I think if one of an injury happens to them, and then you've only got Craig Kafka and Cabaselli, I think you need more than that. I know you've got Pollock as well, but you don't really want to throw him into a situation where he's not that experienced. And to go from League Two to the Premier League, it's a massive jump in class and quality. So I agree with James on this one. I would look for maybe a loan spell to come in. Who knows, we could maybe raid Indonesia, because the last couple of centre-backs we got from him didn't do too bad.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't do too bad. I personally think that Cabaselli and Craig Cathcart will be able replacements should somebody get, you know, should somebody get injured. And, you know, we will see whether the club feel necessary.
One last point, Mike, before we move on. I think you've also got to think about the African Cup of Nations and, you know, Truster Kong.
Bloody hell.
You know, we got a number of players who would be going out to that. Truster Kong.
23 men. You know,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. We've got quite a large Nigerian cohort at Watford. Sarr, obviously Senegalese as well. So, you know, we're going to lose a lot of players to that tournament when that goes ahead. So I think we've also got to kind of plan ahead for that as well.
Yeah, well, when that comes about, I'm thinking about going up to a few games and taking my boots in the car just in case. Because we are going to be very, very light on the ground for those weeks.
You know what? This will probably be the only time I'll watch the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah, well, Nigeria will be the new Udinese, won't they? They'll be Watford B side, basically. But I think that, do you know what? I think that will just help. You know, having connections like that, you know, you've seen the interviews with some of the players, not all of the players. You put a tweet out on your personal account, Ben, saying you just feel
how
like...
How frustrating is it? I've seen that. You've agreed with that, James, as well. The lack of footage we've had from Watford. Like, we signed Josh King the other day, for an example. He turned up for training on Monday. No footage of him kicking a ball or anything. We haven't even seen him sit down and do an interview. We've not even heard a proper interview with him on the website.
Yeah.
All the other players we've signed, like Emmanuel Dennis, they teased about doing an interview and they said coming soon. I know people are saying, look, we've had the Euros on to entertain us, but I support Watford. I want to see Watford news. I want to see Watford footage. I don't want to see 10-second clips on Instagram or seeing someone being nutmegged and that. Yeah, nutmegs is brilliant, but show me a bit more footage. Come on.
No, I think you're absolutely spot on, and maybe there's a reason behind it. Maybe they're planning some extravaganza, or who knows.
Well, even for the kit announcement, they announced the date of the kit announcement rather than just announcing the kits.
Yeah, they've done that before. It's annoyingly very close to the first game of the first pre-season game, and Ben Foster's obviously released it. Sort of shown us goalkeeper kits, which look amazing, by the way. I think the problem with the kit they've had, Watford fanzine tweeted that they'd been in touch with the club about the... Because I think next season you can't be sponsored by a betting company. So they've been trying to iron out whether they're allowed, and I think they're maybe going to try and get one last big payout from a betting company. And I think it's the last time they can get one. So, yeah, it's... I think that's why there's been a delay in getting the kit, because I think there's going to be a new front of the shirt sponsor. Hopefully we don't go back to the Happy Egg company like that one season that we almost did when we're not allowed to be sponsored by betting companies. But I think that's the reason I did it, the delay. And I think the away kit is then released a week or so later, or I don't know.
And third kit after that, and a fourth kit after that.
Well, yeah, exactly. It wouldn't surprise me, it really wouldn't. Talking of kits, a couple more people that ain't going to be wearing a kit this season, so they don't need to, they can switch off if they're listening, because we don't need to talk about the kit anymore. We talk about players, young players we promise. This one's definitely one that hasn't lived up to expectation. Alberto Penaranda, what has happened to him? Why did that not go well for him? He's joined Las Palmas on loan until the end of the season. He signed for us in Feb 2016. He scored twice in four appearances. Now, that is a good stat. You know, he's got a goal ratio of 50%, so I'll give him that. But this is his sixth loan spell away from Watford. I forgot to mention earlier, we've also released Jerome Sinclair. We like to have a knack of keeping hold of these young, in inverted commas, promising players till the very, very sort of last moment. And we really bleed them dry when they really do nothing. I think Alex Jakubiak was one. We kept him for ages, and even though it was clear that he wasn't going to be playing for the first team anytime soon. Jerome Sinclair, we've only just got rid of him, and how long have we had him? And now Alberto Penaranda. Surely, James, his time at Watford's got to be coming to an end very soon.
Well, I couldn't really care less about him, Mike, I've got to be honest. I think it's just really, I mean, you know, the goals he scored in the Carabao Cup were great. That made my evening that day. But really, apart from that, it was top corner, wasn't it? But really, I mean, he had his work permit issues. He's not really shone when he's been here. It's just been a complete mess. And, you know, the sooner we can get red, the better in that situation, really.
A damning review there from James Batchelor on Alberto Penaranda. Let's hope he doesn't.
But I wish him all the best. Yeah. I wish him all the best for the future.
Well, that's good, yeah. Ignacio Pesetto, another one I don't think we're going to ever see playing a Watford shirt again. He, to be fair to him, his debut, coming on, getting that point against Tottenham, that was a brilliant goal line clearance. Meant the square root of F all, really, at the end of the day, because we still got relegated that season. But it was nonetheless, you know, other than scoring a goal, a brilliant way to mark your debut. He's extended his loan spell at Udinese, and he'll remain there for the 21-22 campaign. Joined from Udinese in January 2020 on a 4.5-year deal before returning to the Italian club on loan last summer. You guys have mentioned it a couple of times. We've seen a loan signing, outgoing. Adam Leventhal did say to expect more outgoings sort of in the next coming weeks. Thiago Cucurella Chuchor has joined League One side Doncaster Rovers on a season-long loan. We obviously wish him the best of luck at Donny Rovers. But Ben, League One, I think he's going to hit the ground running personally.
Yeah, I think he's going to do really well. We had high hopes of Ryan Cassidy that went to League One clubs, Accrington Stanley last season. I think he struggled with a bit after he had a bit of an injury, so we didn't really see the best of him. But Thiago's going to be much stronger in that division. You can see the build of him. You know he's built for that division. He's got a lot of power behind him. He's got a lot of pace. I think he's going to rip that division apart. I'd love to see him get double figures. Early prediction, I reckon he's probably going to get about 12 goals for the next season for Donny. I think it's a really good loan spell. And this is what we want to see as well. Me and James have said about it with younger players. It's great seeing them have the opportunities and at the club. But if you're not getting the opportunities at Watford, send them out on loan. Don't let them play under 23 football. They're kind of wasted there, aren't they, really? Because it's not that competitive. What you want to do is send them out on loan so they know how a game like feels when you're fighting for promotion, fighting for to stay in the division, what 3 points means on a match day, seeing your away fans travel to somewhere silly on a Tuesday night and then them applauding you after your efforts on the pitch at the end of a game. These are the things that turn youngsters into professionals and into men, and this is a really good loan spell for him, and I'm excited. He's an under 21 international for Turkey now as well. I think he's just played for him recently, hasn't he, sir? And I don't know about you, but when I was scrolling through Twitter earlier, loads of Turkish fans were all over it. They're really, really hopeful for him, and they see him as like a massive star for the Turkish national team in a few years' time. So yeah, I think Watford have got a player on their hands here.
Let's hope it's not just the national Turkey side that he's a star for, and he'll be donning a Watford shirt very, very soon after his loan spell at Doncaster. See what I did there?
I try to ignore
it. Cheers. Next player, Will Hughes. We've obviously talked about him. We've offered him a 5-year contract, but yet to sign it. We've placed a £12 million price tag on his head as he's entering the final year of his contract with Villa, Newcastle and Fulham. Also an interest. We've obviously spoke about that. We don't want him to go, but I think, Ben, you've made a very, very good point that if we are going to cash in, we need to do it now, because otherwise we risk losing him for free, and that just wouldn't sort of... the value aspect would completely go there, because he's been a lot more valuable than letting him go on a free for us, and I'd be absolutely gutted, and hopefully that doesn't materialise, and hopefully he signs a contract in the next few days. And knowing our bloody luck, we'll end this podcast recording and it'll come up saying that Will Hughes has signed a new contract, because that generally tends to happen, ladies and gents. Me and Ben often wrap up on a podcast, we think, right, we've covered everything. Next thing you know, I'll get a notification, Ben has sent you a tweet and some bloody news has broke. So, yeah, although I'd take that. If it meant that he signed a contract, I'd take that all day.
Have you seen that Adam Leventhal said that Hughesy and his representatives aren't really happy with what's in the Watford contract? And if you listen back to Scott Duxbury's interview as well from Rickery, and sorry, we're really plugging this for them, lads, aren't we? go give it a listen.
A week, by the way.
he's actually said in that interview that, or was it the sporting director? I can't remember who it was, but they've came out and said that relegation clauses are being put into contracts, and when Watford are getting relegated, it's
not
a 50%.
Not when, Ben, come on.
If Watford get relegated, there will be a 50% pay reduction due to relegation, and that's been inserted into everyone's contract at Watford. So this could be a sign of maybe Hughesy doesn't like that and wants it taken out, or maybe he wants 40% deduction or whatever. There's something in the contract that he doesn't like, and I imagine it's the relegation clause.
Could well be. I think you might have hit the nail on the head there, to be honest. Let's hope that he overlooks that, though, and thinks, we're not going down anytime soon again, so I'll sign the contract. Quado Bar, we talked about him. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. He was attracting interest from Sheffield Wednesday, but we understand that he's actually likely to stay at Watford until January, as Sisco's keen to fully assess what level he's capable of playing at before deciding on where to loan him. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, let's not forget, this lad almost signed for Man City in January, but he failed a medical. Man City don't piss about when it comes to signings like that. You know, they poach all the young players. We should know, they've just bloody had one of ours. So, you know, he's obviously a serious talent. So they obviously rate him very, very highly. And I've no doubt that we'll see him in all of, if not most of the pre-season games. So that's definitely one to keep an eye on. Someone else that I'm hoping that we see in pre-season games, Watford actually believe that we're in a strong position to retain Ismail Assar, despite rumours linking him back to linking him with a move again to Anfield. There has at the moment though been no formal offer or approach, and we're in a position to rebuff any bids should they materialise, according to the Watford Observer. I don't want to go into too much detail because I know again this is, you know, on the verge of becoming a very long podcast again, and we don't want the listeners to be put through that again. But James, we kept hold of him last season in the Championship, and that's when you think that he'd really, really go, because, you know, he shouldn't really be playing in the Championship. He's much more talented than that. Surely we're in a much better position to turn around and say no. Or do you think after he's given us that season in the Championship and he's showed us that faith, do you think that we sort of are in a position where, if Liverpool do come knocking, you know, we give the player the chance to speak to him? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I don't think Sarr's going to be leaving this summer at all. And, you know, any reports you see linking him with a move away, I just think are complete nonsense, to be honest. He's got 3 years left in his contract. He's openly said he's happy to stay at Watford. We're back in the Premier League. And, you know, if we stay up next season and Sarr's had a fantastic season, you know, I'd be all for saying to him, you know what, you've served us well. Now go and get your big move. Because, you know, credit to him, he's not made a fuss at all. He stayed with us in the Championship. Yeah. You know, and unless we got some ridiculous offer, north of 60, 70 million, then obviously you'd have to take a look at that. But I don't think that's going to happen this summer, especially with COVID. So I think we'll see Sarr in a Watford shirt next season.
Is that your thoughts as well, Wim?
Yeah, 100%. I think we'll get one more season out of Sarr. I think we'll shake hands at the end of that season. But like James says, if a ridiculous offer comes in, then Watford have to look at it very carefully, because of all the clubs have been financially hit last season with a pandemic. I know we don't want to keep going on about it, but it's realistic. Every club's struggling and without having the income coming in through the turnstile. So if a serious offer comes in and it's you can't really refuse it, then we'd see Sarr go. But I think personally we'll get one more season out of him, and then we'll thank him for his hard works and his efforts, and we'll let him move on.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you've both made some very valid points there. And but look, the Pozzos are known for bringing players in and then selling them on for a higher fee. So, you know, obviously, if he is subject of a ridiculous offer, then, yeah, I can see him going. But hopefully you're right. You know, he's still with us in the Championship. He's got us back up. He can be our star man again. And hopefully that's enough to keep him at the club. Just a couple of other quick bits just to round up the podcast on, and that will be us for the evening, as we record this on the evening of the 19th of July. As I've mentioned, the club are launching a new kit for this season on Thursday, the 22nd of July at 9 a.m. There was a video which circulated on YouTube the other week, but I think the Watford Observer then come out and said that team wasn't actually anything to do with Watford. And that they just had like draft kits made up. It was a really weird one because it was abroad, and I'm thinking, why would they use that? So just as well, really, because I weren't keen on that kit whatsoever that come out. So yeah, that wasn't the one. Wait till Thursday and we can see what it looks like. As I mentioned previously, we have had a couple of friendlies, obviously non-official ones yet. That's coming up this Saturday. Well, the first team squad gained crucial minutes in two training ground matches against Colchester United, who are now managed by ex-Watford interim manager Hayden Mullins. And they've also got Bailey Spencer-Adams on trial as well. They were two 60-minute games. The first one, we ran out 2-1 winners. Ismail Assar scored a penalty, the first penalty he scored since that one that clinched us promotion against Millwall. And then Darpo Mabude, the new signing from Rangers, also scored. And Alan Judge was on target for the visitors. And then another lineup defeated them again, 2-0. This time with goals from Chucho Hernandez and Dan Gosling, who I've seen that he could be leaving. I'd be gutted if he leaves because I'd feel so bad. You know, we brought him in. He did superbly. I think he deserves a crack in the Premier League. But I think all these midfielders coming in, I think that just puts him down the pecking order a little bit more, which is a shame. And then those games actually followed a friendly on Wednesday, 3-2, again at the training ground. We beat Millwall. Dominguez Quina, Adam Messina and Ashley Fletcher were on target at London Colney. So those were just some, you know, unofficial friendlies. The first friendlies, there's tickets available now for the West Brom and Barnsley game. They're in order to gear up for our 21-22 Premier League season. They're on sale now as we speak. And the West Brom game is this Saturday, the 24th, 3 p.m. kickoff. And then we welcome Barnsley to the Vic on July the 31st, so the week after. And that's a 4 p.m. kickoff. So for non-season ticket holders, you can get your tickets for £10. Concessions, easy for me to say, is £5. And then season ticket holders, adults £8 and concessions £4. So pretty decent. It's not like bloody Stevenage. They're charging £20 a ticket.
£20, I can't believe
that. Listen, don't get me wrong. I get that everyone's been hit by coronavirus and the lower league teams will struggle, but that's just taking a piss a little bit. But, you know, people haven't seen live football, and now that the fans are allowed back in, full capacity stadiums are allowed back, maybe people will pay. And I'm hoping that as many people as possible snap up tickets for that first game back on Saturday, because even though it's a pre-season game, I was having a conversation with this to my mate the other day. I think you will see increased capacities at pre-season friendly games now, especially with it being full capacity. I'm not for 1 minute saying that you're going to get sell-out crowds, but you're going to get more than average, I think, because yes, we've had the Euros, but people are being able to watch club football again. So I wouldn't be surprised, and the weather's sticking around as well. I wouldn't be surprised if you see more than usual at pre-season games as well. I'm talking to the Premier League season. There's already been a fixture change. Our trip to Spurs has been moved to Sunday, the 29th of August at 2 p.m, and that's due to Tottenham's participation in the Europa Conference League. So, you know,
it's weird saying that now, isn't it?
It is weird, really, really weird. Yeah. I've seen some of the grounds that are in that Conference League and it just makes me laugh, man. But then again, you know, if we got it, I certainly wouldn't complain. But for a team like Spurs, they should be aiming higher. Oh, well, what a shame. And then we'll end on a happy note. We will. Congratulations to King Ken and his wife. Probably should have got her name because I don't know what her name is. But congratulations to them both. On Saturday, they got married. And I must say, we did receive a tip-off in our DMs on Twitter. Can't think of the gentleman's name that sent it us, but if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have known. And he sent us his guy, who's obviously a friend of Ken Semmer. He sent
Sam
us his
Perry.
Instagram. Sam Perry, that's the gentleman that told us. Thank you for that, Ben. He sent us an Instagram profile, and the profile is of a gentleman who is obviously a friend of Ken Semmer's, and his Instagram story was pretty much the whole day of the wedding. And I shit you not, that looked like the best wedding ever. Like, that was just class. And, yeah, we just want to extend our congratulations to King and now Queen Semmer. So hopefully some more happy news follows.
And if anyone else has got any tip-offs to let us
know. if anyone else sees any other of the guys getting married or anything we should know about, let us know, because we like to think that we keep on top of most things, but we didn't know. So massive thanks to Sam for that. But yeah, I think we've covered a lot, and not as long a podcast this time. The last one was an hour and 40 minutes, but that was because I had a lot of connectivity issues. So I do apologise for that. Hopefully it sounded all good when I edited it.
By the way, you guys won't even believe me, but about an hour before we started recording this, I had another power cut.
Oh, typical. That ticks one off on the bingo list, though. Also, before I forget that, I want to say a massive thank you to YouHorns TV, because I don't know whether they sent it directly to you, Ben, but
yeah, it did.
Ben sent me a message in the week, and he was like, I've just been sent this by the Twitter page, Uwarns TV. Go and follow them if you don't already. And it was a
You're going to read some of them out? Have you got some?
Have I got it in front of me? I should have it in
if
front
not,
of
I've
me.
Got it.
Read some of them out, Ben, because these are brilliant.
So one of them is Mike's complaining about a spicy meal the night before.
I didn't have one of those last night. So.
Mike agrees with Ben saying, I think you're spot on there.
I've said that a couple of times. Yep.
And you say absolutely quite a lot as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike complains about Villa fans being Villa fans. James is encouraged by the Watford transfer activities.
I think we've had that tonight. We're ticking off quite a few.
Ben says he was going to cook but got a kebab delivered instead.
Any kebabs tonight, Ben?
No, not tonight. I just had a salad.
Oh, okay. Got the crunch rusting opposite.
Yeah. And then the last one we'll finish up on, Mike claims to be helping a friend decorate.
I was helping a friend decorate. It's, I now work for that friend. So I help him with a lot more now. But,
decorating worked then, didn't it?
Well, exactly. But yeah, I just want to thank Uwarns TV for that, because honestly, when Ben sent it over to me, I could not stop laughing because some of those are absolutely spot on. So yeah, we want to thank you. And obviously, we want to thank the listeners as well. It's been a long time since we recorded regularly. We can't wait to get started. We've already started trying to get some guests together to hopefully have for you guys to analyse games with. We'll be bringing back the regular feature of speaking to opposition podcasts as well, so we look forward to having opposition fans on. I'm undecided whether to have Crystal Palace podcasts on yet, because we didn't have a Luton one on last year for obvious reasons, and I think we only had a Bournemouth one on once. That's all I could deal with them. And I got his name wrong as well the next week, so I was well. Like, he must have thought. He must have looked back.
Come back.
Thought, what a twat. So we hope to have that regular feature back next season as well. And we're also going to be doing a little league table, aren't we, Ben? We're going to be predicting the results each week, and we'll try and integrate our listeners into that so they can sort of have a bit of fun with us as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. We do our weekly predictions each week, don't we, us three? So I think it would be good if we did a league table and actually did 3 points if we got it correct, or 1 point if we got the team winning correct. So yeah, and see where we finish at the end of the season. Yeah. No doubt Mike's going to finish bottom, because most of his fantasy football's bottom on the table. So.
Yeah, I'm not very good.
I think, Mike, you're going to set up a fantasy football league as well, aren't you?
I am indeed, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Also, must say as well... thanks for the ones that joined the Euros one as well. I haven't forgotten about that. The fantasy football for the Premier League, we're going to set one of them up, and I'm going to try and get us a decent prize as well. I'm going to see if I can pull a few strings and get a prize to... Obviously, all will be revealed when I hopefully get my hand on a prize. But, we'll set that up. We'll put the code out. And obviously, the winner come the end of the season will be in receipt of this said prize. But more on that when I know. But, I just want to thank everyone for listening, as always. And it's been a pleasure to speak to you two guys. James, I'm sure you'll be back at some stage and continue.
Sure, I will be.
Continue doing the brilliant work that you do over at the Watford Way. I love the new logo as well, as Ben said in our group chat earlier as well. It's really, really good. But, yeah, we want to thank you guys for listening, as always. Stay safe. Obviously, Freedom Day is here. Hopefully, you guys are feeling a little bit more relaxed, and everything's starting to slowly go back to normal. But, yeah, stay safe, take care, and come on, Uwarns.
Podcast Network.